Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
A shakeup on former President Trump's legal team. He has dropped one attorney and added another ahead of his surrender today in Georgia on charges of conspiring to try to overturn the 2020 election.
Sheriff's deputies are waiting to record his height and weight, fingerprint him, and take his mugshot before he's released on a $200,000 bond. Security is tight, though law enforcement officials say they're tracking no specific threats. Supporters have issued calls to rally, but prior Trump court appearances have drawn sparse crowds of protesters.
That's ABC's Aaron Kutursky. Trump skipped last night's GOP debate, appearing instead in a taped sit-down with Tucker Carlson.
Donald Trump is far and away the leading candidate. Did anything change? Not last night. But I think that if this keeps happening, if we continue to have more debates, Republican voters will get to see what that world looks like.
ABC's Jonathan Carl. In California, a deadly shooting at a Los Angeles area biker bar. Three were killed. Deputies shot and killed the suspect. This is ABC News. A major slowdown in the trial of Brian Koberger, who is accused of killing four University of Idaho students. In a hearing yesterday, he waived his right to a speedy trial that was supposed to start in October. That is on hold now. Watchdog groups are accusing YouTube of breaking promises about serving up ads to kids. The groups say the ads could violate federal law. It's another day of dangerous heat and humidity across large parts of the country. Here's ABC News senior meteorologist Rob Marciano.
We're looking at temperatures tomorrow measured in the shade without humidity. 102 in St. Louis, 102 in Kansas City, 100 potentially in Chicago. That'll be the first 100 in over a decade. Fold in the humidity and then we get dangerous. 115 in St. Louis. But again, short-lived, a bit of a break for the Midwest, but not for the South. Dallas, New Orleans, and Tampa, well up and over 100, 110 in some spots.
When it comes to feeling safe in a big city, a lot of people think the place to be is Texas. 74% tell a Gallup poll they think Dallas is safe, even if they'd never been there. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For the talk of Green Bay news, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what Green Bay needs to know. Yesterday's temperatures were scorching in northeast Wisconsin. It got into the 90s in Green Bay with a heat index of almost 110. Appleton and Oshkosh both broke records for heat. Appleton reached 99 and Oshkosh 98. The hottest day on record in Wisconsin was July 13, 1936. Temperatures in Green Bay reached 104, and the hottest place in the state was the Wisconsin Dells, which registered 114. Great place for a water park. It's another hot one today, folks. Stay cool. The De Pere School District might take a stricter stance on flag display. The district is discussing a resolution that would require permission before displaying a flag. Under the new proposal, only the U.S. flag or a Wisconsin state or municipal flag would be allowed without special permission from the De Pere School Board. Pete Schwabe for the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW 97.9 News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
We're in the Civic Media Truth Booth at the Brown County Fair. We asked, and here's what you are telling us about living in the Green Bay area, attending the fair, and more.
So my name is Maddie McCoy. I grew up in Green Bay, so I've been in Wisconsin my whole life. I own my own business. Both of my grandpas were entrepreneurs. For me, doing something on my own and allowing myself to be myself and be creative, actually impact people and see that I really could do that, has been really special. And I'm really grateful I found it as young as I did. I'm proud of the fact that my grandparents were entrepreneurs and I get to do my own thing too.
Thanks for sharing your story. Listen for more on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW 97.9 FM, 1590 AM, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 1100 AM, 98.3 FM, and the Civic Media app. And our website, civicmedia.us, and search for Truth Booth. And watch for the Civic Media Truth Booth coming to your town soon. We're in the Civic Media Truth Booth at the Brown County Fair. We asked, and here's what you are telling us about living in the Green Bay area, attending the fair, and more.
Hi, my name is Representative Schmidt. I represent Assembly District 6. My family owns a dairy farm called Schmidt's Ponderosa, that's south of Bondwell, and I'm the third generation. I farm with my parents and two other siblings. I currently take care of the dry cows and other odds and ends on the farm. That allows me to be flexible with my position in Madison. The rule folks in the rural parts of the state, they understand their natural resources and the urgency to protect them and preserve for future generations. Urban people like the rural folks because we're very warm and generous, and that's where we kind of get lost with the partisan politics. Both sides of us at the end of the day, we love the state of Wisconsin.
Thanks for sharing your story. Listen for more on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and watch for the Civic Media Truth Booth coming to your town soon.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us. Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Let me, you know, I am a guy who takes a few prescriptions. And, you know, as, you know, we age and our bodies are, you know, change, you know, you don't spend seven decades on the planet and your body, not, you know, change. And oftentimes our bodies change for the worse because of all the different things that we've been exposed to over those decades. And it requires seeing a doctor. It requires taking medications. I don't know many people 70 years old or thereabouts who don't take many medications. And I do know, based on the cost and the prices of what those medications are, it prices a lot of people out of, you know, being able to afford those. But, you know, it's strange now to find out that there are people, excuse me, who kind of get their fingers involved in making sure that the prices of medication continue to soar. And whether or not people can afford them or not, when you find out that there's somebody called pharmacy benefit managers who, you know, a nondescript. I never heard of a pharmacy benefit manager. And once I started reading about them, and we have invited my guest, Mr. Antonio, and I'm not going to even attempt to butcher your name. Why don't you do that for us, sir?
It's Antonio Chacha, just like the dance.
Oh, it's Chacha. Okay. All right. I can do that. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you?
let's do this. You are a president of Three Axios Advisors, and you're here to talk about pharmacy benefit managers. I'm soon to be 70 years old. What the heck is a pharmacy benefit manager?
Well, I swear to you, they are more exciting than their name sounds. a pharmacy benefit manager, or a PBM, is the intermediary or middleman that lives between the insurance company and the pharmacy. They are the intermediary or middleman that lives between the drug manufacturer and the pharmacy, and they are the intermediary or middleman that ultimately determines which medicines will be covered under your health insurance plan, which ones will not, which pharmacies you can go to and which ones you can't, and then ultimately determine how much you have to pay as a patient as part of your copay when buying that medicine.
Before you go any further, I have to say, so my congressman and my senator, who are right there, and I thought that they were kind of, you know, in control of what could be charged and what couldn't be charged, I thought that that's kind of where it was.
If only. Look, if you think drug pricing is rotten at its core, you know, PBMs are at the very core, right? And PBMs, be clear, are not all evil, but I'll explain why they have really run amok and created a lot of the dysfunction that we have to deal with as patients and employers buying medicines today. PBMs started many, many years ago in the 60s and 70s. Essentially like a Visa or MasterCard for your medicines. So if you were a patient and your medicine was covered by your health insurance plan, the PBM would work with the pharmacy to ultimately determine whether or not that medicine was covered and then determine how much, if anything, you as a patient would have to pay. It was a very streamlined and efficient transaction, but over time, as we covered more and more medicines under our health benefit plan, and as medicines got more and more expensive, we started to look at PBMs and say, hey, maybe rather than just paying the bill, maybe you can help influence the bill and negotiate the bill. So rather than just simply paying whatever is invoiced, we looked at the PBM to act as a counterweight, which is good, right? That's a good thing. If drug prices are too expensive and we as patients have no power, well, then maybe the PBM can help make things a little bit more fair. But that didn't really happen to a perfect degree. Instead of actually working to lower the prices of medicines, PBMs got an exemption to the federal anti-kickback statute. What that allowed them to do is now to get paid by drug manufacturers. So the drug companies now pay the PBMs in exchange for covering and preferring their medicines. You might imagine what that conflict does. Drug companies can charge whatever they want, and so they raise their prices higher and higher to create bigger kickbacks back to the PBM in exchange for coverage.
But again, sir.
And that is but one of many problems.
But again, sir, the PBMs could never do what they're doing if our Congress did not allow them to, you know, to do this. You talked about the kickback that they were eliminated from. It seems like the Congress gave them a red light to do this.
You are correct. I mean, there is a lot of blame for this system dysfunction thanks to the special rules that have been achieved by drug manufacturers, PBMs, health insurance companies, and group purchasing organizations. A whole bunch of companies who many of your listeners are sitting there saying, I have no idea who they are and how could they influence my medicine. It's important to, at a fundamental level, remember, we need medicines to stay alive.
Yes.
If you're in the business of providing something, of something that we need, well, whether you're the one making the thing that we need or whether you're somebody who's in the middle, standing in between us and what we need, right? There's a lot of money to be had to mark up the cost of something that we all need to stay alive. And so everybody in the drug supply chain has a role to play in inflating the cost of medicines. That goes for the manufacturer, the wholesaler, the pharmacy, the PBM, the insurance company, and insert whatever alphabet soup for other intermediaries that we're not even going to talk about. but they all make money off of inflating the cost of medicine and rely on us as consumers to need to pay whatever it takes to stay alive and stay healthy.
So let me ask you, President Biden was able to cut through the red tape and lower drug prices on some of the drugs that elders and others are taking. If he was able to do that unilaterally, you know, why then can't that be done? And I'm sure there were just select drugs that he was able to do that with. If he has that kind of power unilaterally, why doesn't he implement it more?
Well, I'm going to give you a little bit of context here. What President Biden did with policy through the Inflation Reduction Act did actually nothing to actually change the amount that drug makers charge for their medicines. In the U.S. system, the United States is unique relative to any system across the globe. In the United States, drug makers can set whatever prices they want. The idea is that, look, if drug manufacturers can set whatever prices they want, the hope is that investors and these companies that want to make more money will want to bring new innovative products to the market so that they can have new things to charge whatever they want on. And we could certainly debate whether or not that's appropriate or not, but the idea is the drug maker gets to set the price. Well, in traditional markets, when somebody overcharges for something, well, there are forces in the marketplace that punish them for charging too much. If the grocery store wanted to charge me $20 for a gallon of milk, I would punish them by not buying the milk. And then everybody who had a hand in making money off milk would respond by trying to make the cost lower. In the drug marketplace, we don't have that, and largely because of this anti-kickback exception that I mentioned before. If the drug makers can set whatever price they want, and the PBM will continue to buy the medicine as long as they get a kickback, well, then there's no market forces that pressure manufacturers to lower prices. What the Biden administration did with the Inflation Reduction Act was they said, look, we are going to get discounted rates for the Medicare program, but that does not change the ability for drug makers to set whatever prices they want. What it means is that the government is now getting a special discount off of bogus inflated prices, and that everybody else who doesn't get that discount is stuck paying those bogus inflated prices. What I would argue Biden did, What I would argue Biden did is he provided a very needed Band-Aid for seniors who have struggled buying their medicines. But there was nothing within the policy that actually changed the overinflated nature of prices to begin with.
Wow. Listen, I'm so excited to be able to continue and have this conversation with you again, as an elder and one who takes medications, and I know people who bypass taking life-saving medications because it's the choice of either the medication or food, or the choice of either medication or keeping a roof over their head or heat during the winter. And these are all just, you know, things that should never occur in the wealthiest nation on earth. We've got to go to a break. My guest is Mr. Antonio Chacha. He is president of 3Axis Advisors. You can join us at 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
We're in the Civic Media Truth Booth at the Brown County Fair. We asked, and here's what you are telling us about living in the Green Bay area, attending the fair, and more.
So my name is Maddie McCoy. I grew up in Green Bay, so I've been in Wisconsin my whole life. I own my own business. Both of my grandpas were entrepreneurs. For me, doing something on my own and allowing myself to be myself and be creative, actually impact people and see that I really could do that, has been really special. And I'm really grateful I found it as young as I did. I'm proud of the fact that my grandparents were entrepreneurs and I get to do my own thing, too.
Thanks for sharing your story. Listen for more on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW 97.9 FM, 1590 AM, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 1100 AM, 98.3 FM, and the Civic Media app. And our website, civicmedia.us, and search for Truth Booth. And watch for the Civic Media Truth Booth coming to your town soon.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies this afternoon with a slight chance for scattered rain showers. High of 80, northeast winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Mainly cloudy tonight, lows level off around 64. Chance for isolated storms tomorrow, highs level off around 82. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Dry with temperatures a bit below average Saturday and Sunday, and highs from the upper 60s to the low 70s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 69.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Antonio Chacha, president of 3Axis Advisors, and he's here to talk about pharmacy benefit managers. Sir, let me ask you. You said that the drug makers can set the prices on what they sell their drugs for, and I will say to you, that most of those pharmaceutical companies do their research. They use the taxpayer dollar to do their research. And the fact that they can get away with charging these enormous prices to the taxpayers, even though they've used the taxpayer dollars to do the research and then turn around and sell those drugs at, you know, an affordable price overseas, is an insult to the American people. And so the PBMs are only empowered because, again, the people that we elect make all this possible. None of this can be possible without them, sir.
So I totally agree. You know, the United States is unique in that we, relative to our international peers, overpay significantly on brand name medicines. On a generic medicine front, we tend to actually get better deals than a lot of our international peers. But the drugs that are really breaking the bank are these newer brand products relative to those generics. And so one of the things that we already have the problem of overinflated prices in the United States. And the question then is, how do we curtail those? Some would argue that maybe price controls across the board might be an approach to take to better control the prescription drug costs. And without taking sides on the issue, one of the arguments, obviously, for price controls is, hey, it'll make things cheaper. But on the other hand, you could restrain the incentives that investors may have to bring new medicines to market. Now, we can believe whether or not that will have a significant impact or not. I'm not an economist.
Yeah, but the taxpayers are also investors.
Without question.
And you could argue that we are the biggest investor.
Without question, the United States carries the largest amount of freight for the cost of developing and paying for medicines once they're on the market. So the question is, what do we do to actually better align the marketplace so that we believe that drug makers can be in a position to compete to lower prices rather than raise them? And so my problem with the drug supply chain as it's architected today is that every single layer of the drug supply chain, again, that manufacturer, the wholesaler, the pharmacy, the PBM, and the insurance company, they all can make more money the more the prices go up. And so everybody in the drug supply chain has a conflict of interest because they make more money when prices are higher. And so if we don't go down the road of price controls, the question is, how do you better align a marketplace to function to compete to lower prices? And so what policy has failed to do and what contracts within the drug supply chain have failed to do is actually reward everybody in the supply chain when prices decline rather than the opposite. So I'd argue that, yes, we have inflated prices, but we also have a dysfunctional marketplace that rewards everybody when prices go up.
So let me say this to you, and it's frustrating to me as an American citizen that the bottom line, the concern is the profit motive and not the health of the American people. Because for American people who can't afford any of these things, they're just out of luck. And so, you know, we can talk about the profit motive and all of those things, but when it comes to life and death issues, man, to me, that should be thrown out the window. But clearly the life and death of the American people comes in secondary to that profit motive that you're talking about. And I just think there's something, you know, morally wrong with that.
I have no disagreement. I'll give you a good example of how this works. And we'll use an individual drug as an example. All right, this is where my frustrations come from. I used to work in pharmacy. So I worked on the counter as a technician and got to see what would happen when patients would get their medicine or when the price was too expensive. One of the most popular drugs in the United States is insulin, right?
Right, right.
And so there's a very popular version of insulin called Lantus. Lantus is a very expensive medicine. It costs, the list price is hundreds of dollars per vial, so that every time when a patient would walk into a pharmacy, if their benefits did not cover that medicine to its fullest extent, they would be charged hundreds of dollars per month in order to procure that medicine. As you well know, many patients who are living paycheck to paycheck, they can't afford that price.
Right.
And so they're stuck paying the list price of that medicine. Well, one of the things that we know is researchers, and this is backed by a United States Senate Finance Committee investigation into the prices of insulin, that while the list price of Lantus was around hundreds of dollars, I think it was $300-$400 just a couple of years ago, the actual amount of money that the drug makers brought in after all the kickbacks and rebates were tabulated, they were only bringing in $40 for every vial. Now, you and I might still say, hey, the $40 is still too expensive, and not to let the drug makers off the hook by any stretch, right? They're still charging the hundreds of dollars. But I go back to, how stupid of a system do we have where a drug company is setting the list price of hundreds of dollars, yet they're only bringing in $40 per vial? Where is the rest of that money going, and why isn't the drug maker pricing that drug at $40 instead of the hundreds? I go back to the industry dysfunction that we just talked about, is that the system of kickbacks and intermediaries who make money off of the list prices of drugs, they incentivize and reward the higher prices much at the expense of the patient.
You,
I have seen patients...
You know, Mr. Chacha, I'm sorry, you know, you've got to go, but I'm going to reach back out to you because there's so much more to this story. And you certainly have a lot of information, so I'm going to reach back out to you if it's all right.
Bless you. I'd love to chat with you more.
All right, we're going to make sure we do that. We've got to go to a break, 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Jim Ryan. A shakeup on former President Trump's legal team. He has dropped one attorney and added another ahead of his surrender today in Georgia on charges of conspiring to try to overturn the 2020 election.
Sheriff's deputies are waiting to record his height and weight, fingerprint him, and take his mugshot before he's released on a $200,000 bond. Security is tight, though law enforcement officials say they're tracking no specific threats. Supporters have issued calls to rally, but prior Trump court appearances have drawn sparse crowds of protesters.
That's ABC's Aaron Katursky. Trump skipped last night's GOP debate, appearing instead in a taped sit-down with Tucker Carlson.
Donald Trump is far and away the leading candidate. Did anything change? Not last night. But I think that if this keeps happening, if we continue to have more debates, Republican voters will get to see what that world looks like.
ABC's Jonathan Carl. In California, a deadly shooting at a Los Angeles area biker bar. Three were killed. Deputies shot and killed the suspect. This is ABC News.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know. A well-known meat seller in northeast Wisconsin has issued a recall of its own products. Salmon Meats has issued a voluntary Class 1 recall of several of its ready-to-eat meat products found in grocery stores. The store says their products could be contaminated with Listeria. Listeria affects the young and old the most and can cause infections, which can be fatal. The product labels to be concerned about are ones with the number 742. For more information on the recall and products affected, please visit salmonsmeatproducts.com. A former campground owner is in custody this morning. Ann Retzloff was arrested on a warrant yesterday in Okano County and moved to the Shawano County Jail. Retzloff missed a court date in January where she faced charges for leading authorities on a miles-long chase after refusing to pull over. Retzloff was the owner of Annie's Campground in Shawano, which was sold last year to help pay a bank loan.
Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
Call your local Bug Tussle rep today to find out how you can get free internet service. You heard that right, free internet. Call today before this deal ends. For Shawano and Okano counties, call Amanda at 920-600-4760. That's 920-600-4760. And for Brown, Manitowoc, and Kewaunee counties, call Scott at 920-530-1311. 920-530-1311.
Spin the globe and pick where you would go this summer at Ho-Chunk Gaming and Koosa. We'll be giving away a vacation of your dreams with our Vacation Your Way promotion. Throughout the month of August, you can earn entries for your chance to be one of 10 lucky winners on August 26th, with one grand prize winner receiving a travel certificate for anywhere your heart desires. Only at Ho-Chunk Gaming and Koosa, your place to play. For complete contest rules, see the Rewards Club booth at Ho-Chunk Gaming and Koosa. Must be 21 or older to participate and enter the casino floor.
Show the world that age is just a number. Ho-Chunk Gaming and Koosa presents the Golden Days for those who are 50 and wiser. Turn up your excitement, because each Tuesday from July to December, you can earn 25 same-day slot points and $10 rewards play. Redeem up to four times. The Golden Days await at Ho-Chunk Gaming and Koosa, where the only thing more exciting than your luck is the fun you'll have. For complete contest rules, see the Rewards Club booth at Ho-Chunk Gaming and Koosa. Must be 21 or older to participate and enter the casino floor.
Civic Media Radio Stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. The train wreck, that was the Republican Party first debate that took place in Milwaukee last night. You know, I don't, you know, these were the people who were there on the stage. Businessmen, Vivek Ramaswamy, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, former Vice President Mike Pence, former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, South Carolina Senator Tim Scott, former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, former Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson, and North Dakota's Governor Doug Burgum. Donald Trump wasn't there. I watched it. I watched 2 hours of it. And some of it was entertaining. A lot of it was pitiful, just absolutely pitiful. And, you know, people can talk about Joe Biden, which is what they do, you know, constantly. But if I stack Joe Biden up against any of those people standing up there yesterday, I'm sorry. Even with the faux pas that Joe Biden may have from time to time, there's not a person standing on that stage that I would prefer or trust over Joe Biden. I'm sorry. I listen for a reason. Because, hey, well, Ron DeSantis is a joke. Ron DeSantis is as weak as almost any one of the people who was on the stage. Yet he was their supposed front runner a month or two ago. They were talking about how strong he was. He's going to defeat Donald Trump. I don't know what they were looking at. Hey, somebody call me and tell me what you saw in Ron DeSantis. And poor Mike Pence. Poor Mike Pence was pitiful. You know, Vivek Ramaswamy got under his skin. And he was right in some of the things he was saying. But Pence clearly stated, hey, you're a JV man, you know. You're a young guy who knows nothing. I've been there. You know, this is Mike Pence. You know, I've been there. I've been in this room. I've been in that room. I was there. I was here. I went through this. And a rookie like you, a JV teamer, that's basically what it was saying. Hey, you know who you're talking to? You're talking to me, Mike Pence. Well, come on, Mike Pence. I've never seen him that animated ever. But Vivek Ramaswamy got under his skin. You know, even Chris Christie, who I thought was going to really show some signs of strength, was kind of weak yesterday. You know, he really was. Now, if Donald Trump is not their nominee somehow, there's not one person that was standing on that stage that has any chance whatsoever against you know, Joe Biden and the Democrats. Not one. I know I saw it, okay? And I'm not saying that I'm not biased. They'll say, some will say, well, Tim Scott. I saw Tim Scott. I've been hearing people say, you know, have you seen Tim Scott? Yeah, I saw him yesterday. Not ready for prime time. Let's go to the phone lines and CJ. Hey, CJ, how you doing, man? I saw the debate for 2 hours yesterday. I didn't walk away. I saw it all. Your thoughts?
Thanks for taking my call, Earl. Any one of those candidates better than the worst president we've ever had in our country?
Hey, CJ.
And that's saying a lot after Jimmy Carter.
Hey, you can say that all you want to, man. I saw them last night. I saw all of them. I spent 2 hours watching them. And for you to fix your mouth to say any one of them is better than Joe Biden, explain it.
We're safer and more prosperous with a Republican.
Let me ask you something.
Okay.
Where are we not safe because Joe Biden is president? Explain that.
About 6 million people across our border since he's taken office.
Let me check you right there. Those 6 million people who've come across the border, where have they made my life unsafe? They have not made my life unsafe. Where have they made your life unsafe?
Well, obviously, you haven't read the news.
I'm asking you.
Can I respond, Earl? You give me one word, and then you talk over me. Go ahead.
No, I'm asking you not what somebody read. Where has it made your life unsafe?
Oh, my God.
No, that's what you said.
No, the border.
Again, I ask you.
I can go on and on.
No. You said the border. Initially, you said it's made people's lives unsafe. I challenge you on what came out of your mouth, and you turn around and say the border.
Really?
Yes.
Fentanyl. It's killing our kids.
The people coming across the border aren't coming across the border with fentanyl, CJ.
Really?
6,000 people.
You are delirious.
I asked you again about the debate. That's where we started. Quickly.
Where's fentanyl coming from, Earl?
Hey, those 6,000 people don't have fentanyl strapped to their bodies, CJ. Or maybe you know something that I don't know.
Well, maybe you should listen to the Border Patrol then, Earl.
I don't need to listen to
the Border Patrol, what they say, because it is coming across.
Hey, no.
Americans.
You said 6,000 people coming across the border have made our lives unsafe. And I said to you, 6,000 people are not bringing fentanyl across the border. And I don't care what the Border Patrol says. They don't say that. That's CJ talking.
Earl, almost 7 million now. Well, where do you think it's coming from? It's being fed to the cartels by China, and this president doesn't give a crap.
All right. Thank you very much for the call, man. I wish I had more time. Tom from L.A. Hey, good morning to you, Tom. Your thoughts?
Wow. First off, we the people ultimately are the government. We must never forget this, and we must get money out of politics. First off, Ron DeSantis, such a joke. I thought that when he debated against Charlie Crist as well. I had no idea why the people of Florida would elect him. The only person that was missing from that stage that was even a bigger joke would have been Scott Walker. They should have put him up there. That would have really did the trifecta of all the losers on the GOP side.
But who did you see up there?
First off,
that stood out.
My TV has never seen Fox. I didn't watch. I saw enough of. I heard commentary afterwards and heard enough. I mean, it looked like a circus. That's what it looked like. And what's so amazing about it to me is you look at this from a bird's eye view, Earl. Let's just say you come here from a different planet and you have their past president being brought in today to be indicted and get his mugshot done and all of that. And this is the person that they are saying is their front run. I mean, seriously, this party has gone so wackadoodle since George War Criminal Bush. It's just amazing to me because anybody that looks at that and said, oh, your president or your the person that's the head of your party is being convicted or being charged today and being photographed and the whole thing, this is your front runner for the next election? Are you kidding me? Here's the reason why it's such a joke, Earl, because they have no policies. They have no policies that help the middle class. They have no policies. And finally, the American people are waking up and realizing that these people have nothing but tax cuts for billionaires. And really, that's it. That's all they really have.
Hey,
that and their social, wars.
Hey, Tom, I wish I had more time. We got a lot of callers. Thank you very much for the call. Really appreciate it. Let's go to Julie from Franklin. Good morning to you, my friend, Julie. How you doing?
Hi, Earl. How about Nikki Haley?
I said early on in the show that Nikki Haley really, really stood out. Because Nikki Haley pointed to everybody on the stage and said, all of you basically bought and paid for. It's what she said. She also said, we've got to be honest. This is Nikki Haley. We've got to be honest. The amount of money and debt that was incurred under Donald Trump and Mike Pence, and she gave the amount of money, and she talked about the amount of money that Republicans have, kind of spent when they were in office as well, as it are as big an issue as the Democrats spending money. Nikki Haley said that, and you could hear a pin drop as she pointed to everybody on that stage, and I have a big respect for her. Because of what she said in that arena.
Yeah, she's qualified. She could be a good president.
But clearly, there's no chance that Nikki Haley is going to get the nomination. When Nikki Haley is polling, 7%, and Donald Trump is almost at 50, and after. Last night, I'm pretty sure he's going to probably be over 50%. So even in the face of that, Nikki Haley, and I do have some disagreements with her, but I also think that she shined brighter than anybody else on that stage last night. That included Mike Pence and probably people would have never imagined that. Hey, Julie, we got to go to a break. Thank you very much for the call. Paul, I see you and others. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back.
Welcome to one of the premier jazz festivals around. We are in Oshkosh.
Get to see Oshkosh, my hometown, embracing and enjoying and celebrating this festival. I mean, I really do mean that.
Erin Baim is the main organizer of the Oshkosh Jazz Fest. She says it's fairly new, but starting to make a name for itself and this Wisconsin city. So what is Oshkosh best known for, at least right now? Is it UW Oshkosh? EAA Air Venture or Oshkosh Bagosh? The answer coming up.
Our festival is completely free and family friendly.
Two reasons the festival's grown from hundreds to thousands. And the entertainers are huge too. Names like Tormé and Take Six, the most awarded a cappella group in history. So did you guess what made Oshkosh famous? Is Oshkosh Bagosh. But don't forget the Oshkosh Jazz Festival for future fame. The fest is Saturday afternoon, August 26th, and is a new Slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Test your home for radon. Radon causes lung cancer, and half the homes in Green Bay test high. Request a free tester at newradon.com. newradon.com. Get a free test kit now. Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Albaugh Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast. Slight chance for scattered rain showers this afternoon. Otherwise, cloudy skies. Highs around 80. Northeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Tonight, lows dip down to about 64. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, chance for isolated thunderstorms. High temperatures reach up to 82. Dry with temperatures below average Saturday and Sunday, and highs from the upper 60s to the low 70s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 70.
From I-43 to I-41, this is the Talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
The Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Your thoughts on, you know, the debate last night. Let's go to Paul from Waukesha. Good morning to you, my friend. How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Did you watch the whole debate?
You know, I work third shift.
Oh,
so
okay.
I was able to stream parts of it, you know, throughout the night, but I wasn't able to sit right there and watch it. But I want to make a point on some of the numerous points that have been made during your cast today about Joe Biden and so on and so forth. Of course, they're all going to attack Joe. That's what they do. If it was a Democratic debate and Trump was president or whoever is president, they're going to go after him. The only person that Biden can defeat is Trump. Biden's a terrible president. I believe, and the other problem I had with the debate, they had, what, 60 seconds to respond, and there's like eight different people.
Let me tell you something.
I mean, you can only...
They did not have 60... Man, a guy like Pence, and Chris Christie talked about this, and I'll get to that a little bit later on. They did not control the amount of time. And so certain people were able to filibuster, like Mike Pence, for minutes at a time, 3, 4, 5 minutes. And so it was not balanced. And Britt Baer, who surprised me, could not control the back and forth, and people were yelling and screaming and all of that. So no, it wasn't 60 seconds, man. They were able to get their points out.
I agree with you there, but going back to my other point, Trump is the only person Biden can lose. Trump is the only person.
But I have to challenge you on that, Paul, because you didn't see these other people, man. And for you to say the only person he could lose to is Joe Biden, you didn't see the other people. This is my point, man. I saw all of them last night. They were on display. That was the whole purpose, for people to hear what those people have to say. And I didn't hear any of them, you know, especially Ron, what does Trump call him, Calvin? Ron DeSanctimonious. Okay. Especially him. He was the guy who I was really looking to see He had nothing to say.
You know what? DeSantis is very smart. He's a Harvard graduate. He was in the Navy SEALs. He's a combat veteran. He's very smart. DeSantis is very intelligent, unlike Joe.
Yeah, well,
did you hear what Joe said in Hawaii? I mean, it was a travesty. He goes and starts bringing up some kind of situation about where his house started on fire, and he almost lost his 67 Corvette and a cat.
So
I mean, everybody knows that that's a lie.
Okay, so
let me
where's Donald Trump on that spectrum then? If Joe Biden is a liar and out of it, where's Donald Trump on that spectrum? I guess he's brilliant,
like
and the truce.
Trump's made a living building hotels and golf courses. He's made a, you know, you can see.
What does that have to do with him becoming president of the United States?
I don't know, but it happened. You know, what does Joe have to
Let me tell you something. Donald Trump is not a self-made man. His dad left him $400 million. So when you talk about what Donald Trump, like he's a self-created man, he's not. He was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. Are you aware of that, Paul?
Say that again?
He was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. His father left him a fortune. I mean,
how did Joe get all of his money? How is he worth
all these hundreds of millions of dollars? You started talking about Trump has built hotels and golf courses as if he somehow created that from nothing. He did not. He was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. And as a matter of fact, he squandered most of the wealth that his dad left him.
He's being bankrupted by the left. I think ultimately.
Let me ask you something, Paul. He's filed for bankruptcy three or four times before he was even president. Well, was he being bankrupted by the left then?
Was it Mark Cuban, the president of, he owns the Mavericks, rich guy.
Yeah, what about
The Hilton guy?
What
they
about
all him? Claimed bankruptcy at one point or time. They say that you do not learn to be a success without going through your fair share of failures.
Yeah, well, he did it three times.
You know, I did it once.
Well, I know, but you did it once. I did it once. He did it three times.
Sure.
He did it three times. And he had $400 million. Hey, he had $400 million, Paul.
He's got his own jet, doesn't he? With his you know, honestly, I got to say, I hope Trump doesn't get the nomination.
He's going to get it. He's going to get it, Paul. He's almost at 50% approval by Republicans. He's going to get the nomination.
I don't understand it. I'm a Trump supporter, but I know he can't win a general election. How can he? We can't afford another 4 years of Joe.
We can afford another 4 years of Donald Trump. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know what was going on. You know,
you said we can't afford another 4 years of Joe. Then you're saying we can afford another 4 years of Donald Trump. That's what you're saying, right?
All I know is the last time it was. I didn't see the destruction of the.
Gotta go, man. Gotta go. Thank you very much for the call. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Calvin, as always. We'll be back on tomorrow with, you know, none other than Sandy Williams and his opinion on all of this. Stay cool.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know what's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed. Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the ABC Civic Media News app.